Welcome to the podcast for the Full Circle Fund. In this edition, we hear a panel discussion moderated by Stephen Lurie, which took place at the Full Impact Forum on November 14, 2006. Full Circle Fund is an engaged philanthropy organization cultivating the next generation of community leaders and driving lasting social change in the San Francisco Bay Area. Get more information and find out how you can get involved by visiting fullcirclefund.org. This podcast was produced by Mobilecast Media. Mobilecast Media, providing the next generation of services for podcasting, video podcasting, and online media. For more information, please visit mobilecastmedia.com. And now, the panel discussion.
My name is Stephen Lurie, and I've been fortunate enough to be a member of the Full Circle Fund for over 6 years. And in that time, I've seen members from a variety of backgrounds join and come together and work with innovative social entrepreneurs to drive real change in the Bay Area in education, digital divide, and housing. And I think I speak for all members when I say we are the ones who feel fortunate to be working with these innovators in the social realm, these people who make it happen, and together we feel fortunate to be driving change. So tonight, for the next 25 minutes, we're going to bring up three of these agents of change who are some of the grantees that we support, just three of them in these three areas. So without further ado, I'll bring them up, and we're just going to ask them a few questions and learn from them and have some fun. So before we start each section, I'm just going to ask a question and involve you in the audience. So first, in the technology area and digital divide, this is a multiple choice. What is the current unemployment rate in San Francisco's Bay Area, Bayview Hunters Point? Is it A, 4.6%, which is the national rate of unemployment? Is it B, 4.8, the current rate of unemployment in California? Is it C, 4.1, the current rate of unemployment in San Francisco? Or is it D, 15%? Anybody? I hear D coming from the audience. Yes, it is D, and that is over three times the rate in San Francisco, California. So we have somebody here to tell us why and what he's doing about this. Our first agent of change, Full Impact Award winner, Dwayne Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is a lot of fun. A lot of fun, sincerely. I just want to really begin by just really talking about some of the things Larry talked about earlier around poverty. And the issue around 15% unemployment is unacceptable. And when we talk about trying to solve some of those issues, Communities of Opportunity is really about that, changing the paradigm of how we really approach solving those kind of core issues of poverty in areas like the Southeast Sector and Bayview Hunters Point. And Bayview Hunters Point is not an anomaly. It is an example of what happens all over the country. And we need to figure out how to get to some core strategies of fixing some of those things. And the reality is that when you think about 15% unemployment, you got to recognize that there's no one department that's responsible for fixing that particular problem. But you would think that as a city department, as a city as a whole, we all come together and we strategize on how to fix those problems, but we really don't. The reality is that we all operate in our own individual silos, and we all have our own plans to fix that particular issue, and more often than not, those plans are competing plans, and so the issue never gets solved. Communities of Opportunity is really about really organizing city departments with one plan that allocates resources in a way that really begins to dig deep on those particular issues. A perfect example of that is our partnership with Full Circle. We went into Bayview Hunters Point, and with the help of Full Circle and probably about 13 different departments and 10 philanthropic entities, were able to really change the landscape of how you really address poverty. We went into one particular development and really pushed on levels of expectation. People wanted a computer lab. We put a computer in every single home. They wanted Wi-Fi access. We Wi-Fi'd the entire development. What that did for us is really change the landscape in terms of how people engage in programs. So the programs that were often running around job training were working from 1 to 2 hours now people had an opportunity to really engage when that training session really ended, and they could access additional information that was appropriate for them when it was appropriate for them. And that really begins to change how we begin to address a lot of these issues. We cannot address the issues of poverty from 9 to 5. It's not doable. So I appreciate Full Circle Fund, and that is Communities of Opportunity. I engage. I hope that you would read the pamphlet because there's a lot more information. I don't know how Amy thought I could talk about ending poverty in 2 minutes, but in a nutshell, that's what we're really trying to accomplish. Thank you.
Excellent. All right, education. So in many communities in our state, a third of students or more do not complete high school. Now the key to trying to change the statistic is to attract, retain, and develop great teachers. So what percent do you think of California public school teachers leave the profession within the first 5 years? 4 options. A, 10%. B, 25%, C, 50%, or D, 75%? I hear D, C's. The answer is C, 50%, that's over half. And here to tell us what he's doing about it is our second agent of change, full impact winner Dom Summa from the California Teacher Association.
Thank you. On behalf of the 340,000 members of the California Teachers Association, I'm honored to receive this award. It's not every day a union gets an award for being an agent of change or innovation. We are proud of the work that our board of directors have done in developing what we call an educational change work group recommendation that deals in 5 areas of education change, one of them being teacher compensation. We know that we will be losing about 100,000 teachers to retirement in the next 10 years. So the numbers speak for themselves. We have to find ways to attract and retain the best and brightest if we're going to have a quality education program for all of the students in California. And what we are doing is looking at some national work that's been done in the area of teacher compensation. And we know that there are some innovative ways out there that we can look at and examine. And our members have told us, take a look at it. See what it's like, bring it back, let us do it on a local basis. So what we've done is to gather a knowledge base, look at the data, the research, and bring it to our members, our leaders, our staff, and working with the district administration to come up with plans that are designed locally in order to meet this problem. Some of the areas they might use would be to identify hard-to-fill positions or look at things like providing time for mentoring newer teachers. And we think that we have that responsibility to keep those teachers in the profession because we know they will make a difference when it comes to providing a quality education for all of our children. Thank you very much.
And the third area is affordable housing. So families with children are among the fastest growing segment of the homeless population, over 40%. So today, if a family is at risk of being evicted and they reach out for help, they are basically told to call back when they are homeless. Aside from the trauma this causes a family unit, let's just think about this from purely economic perspective. Often it costs less than $500 to keep a family in their home. How much does it cost to keep that same family in a shelter for 1 month? So 4 options. $350, B, $500, C, $1,000, or D, $5,000. Anyone? C? No, it is D, $5,000. And here to tell you more about family homelessness prevention and what he's doing about it is our third agent of change, full impact winner Salvador Menyavar from the Hamilton Family Center.
Thank you, Steve, and thanks to Full Circle for the opportunity to be here. I was shocked too when I started looking at the cost of keeping a family. in shelter. It is extremely expensive to keep a family in shelter. So one of the things that we started doing was questioning why does the system look the way that it does? And what we found was that when the system was created, the goal was not really to end family homelessness. The goal was to provide good shelters and a good space for the families that were coming into our shelters to get services. 2.5 years ago, Hamilton Family Center went through the process of reinventing the organization. Instead of focusing on shelter and focusing on providing services to the families that were coming into the system, we started to focus and put more resources to stop families from ever entering the system of homelessness. Now, that was not an easy change. We found that there was a lot of resistance to make those changes. The other thing that we started to look at was how can we get the families out of the shelter as soon as possible? What we found is that with subsidies, often $500, a subsidy of $500 can get a family out of the shelter really fast. So we provide families with a grant from the Schwab Foundation, small grant. We created a pilot project to give families subsidies, get them out of the shelter, $500 a month for a year. And this is something that we tell the families. If you increase your income during the next 12 months, we will give you the subsidy for a second year. That may sound logical to you, but the system has been one where families are told the moment that you increase your income, we take the subsidy away. So what we're trying to do is get families back into housing as quickly as possible, and we're doing everything that we can to stop evictions, and we are very happy to be partnering with Full Circle, with the City of San Francisco, to end family homelessness once and for all from our cities. Thank you.
All right. Okay, we're just going to do a brief panel here. Well, we're going to ask three questions, and we're going to have, you know, we have all of you, which are great agents of change, you're driving real change, and we just want to spend a few minutes cracking the code, having you share your wisdom with the rest of us. Two specific questions. First question is, what does it take to be an agent of change? So we'll just go down. Salvador, if you want to start.
I think that to be an agent of change, one has to be willing to take risk. You have to be willing to fail sometimes. You have to be willing to piss somebody off. When you create change, somebody's not going to like it. Somebody that has become comfortable with the system that does already exist. And I think that in order to create change, you have to take the risk of creating that new thing and just try to get as many people as possible to be part of it. And not be afraid of the so-called experts. I think that, you know, passion and determination can do it.
That's great. You guys have any thoughts on that point about taking risks?
I mean, there is a known risk when you attempt a change, but there is also a risk when you don't attempt a change. And I think the lesson that we've learned in what we're doing is to try to mitigate those risks and make sure that our members are prepared for the changes that we're looking at. We do that through education. We do that through pilot programs. We do that through modeling and other things because we know that there are going to be risks involved. But we want to make sure that we educate them enough so that they know that they'd rather be in front of that change than waiting for it to happen to them.
Wayne, any thoughts on that risk-taking?
Well, lastly, I think that to be an agent of change, there's certain things you got to get comfortable with. One is being alone. It's great to be in this room with all of these folks, particularly my colleagues, because you don't often get a chance to experience the process of change and the momentum that you can bring because there's so many people that are comfortable in their current circumstances. And so when we talk about being an agent of change or even trying to facilitate change, it's really about figuring out how you have a collective group of folks that you can gain momentum with because, again, change is not easy for most people, but it is necessary. As Dom said, you have to figure out how to get on the front side of change.
Great, thanks. So, Dom, how would you say, what does it take to be an agent of change? What do you think is the most important point?
The area that I think is important is having the confidence and commitment to go forward with the change. And when you look at confidence, if you're the change agent, you have to be able to communicate that to everyone within your organization. You have to be willing to go out there and make a personal commitment and bring people with you in order to make that change. And you do that through a number of techniques, through involving all the stakeholders who will be affected by that change, bringing them in, getting them involved, letting them know that it can be okay, and exuding that confidence in order to bring it about. And if you're successful in that, you will certainly have the folks with you when you make that change.
Great, thanks. You guys have any thoughts on confidence?
I think that building teams and building commitment in your organization to create change is essential. You as an individual can get change going, get the ball rolling, but in order to really implement a big change in our cities, in our society, I think that you have to build very strong teams that are willing to take risk and, you know, implement the plans that you have put together.
Everybody likes to win. And so I think that confidence plays a large role in really facilitating change, because folks really want to be on a winning team. So as confident as you all in terms of your objective and your methodology and your theory of change, I think that you can kind of effectuate change in that context.
So Dwayne, what would you say is the main point to be an agent of change? What would you say is number one for you?
As I indicated earlier, for many of the issues that we're trying to tackle, you can't do it alone. Partnerships is probably the most important mechanism of change for me. As I talked about earlier, we have 13 different departments, and initially it was almost like herding cats and trying to get everyone aligned to a particular strategy, and likewise with all of our philanthropic partners to really align against one strategy, because everyone has developed all of these systems and plans and theories in silos to develop some real partnerships that everyone can agree to one particular goal, one particular plan in a place-based strategy, for example, for COO, is really helpful in terms of bringing about the level of change and having what we call proof of concept so we can replicate that a few times out.
You guys have any thoughts on leveraging resources and talents of others?
When we started talking about ending family homelessness in San Francisco, it was a very difficult proposition, because the system has been created to basically provide services to the families. We were very lucky to find great partners in the city, the Department of Human Services, and other foundations that have been crucial to implement all these pilot projects that we have implemented at Hamilton Family Center. So I think that finding partners and that are committed to helping create change. The city of San Francisco just went through a wonderful process of reorganizing how the system to help families, homeless families, is going to be set up. More than 200 people participated in that process, and I think that we are at the tipping point of creating a new system that really will end family homelessness in San Francisco. I really believe that. I have to believe that if we're really going to end it. And I think that that's the passion that we need to bring to whatever issue we decide to be to make it ours.
Yeah, the change agent really needs to go out and find the resources to make it possible. As an example, the city of Denver went through about a four-year program piloting various forms of what they call professional compensation, or ProComp. And they were able to bring the public into that process, and in fact, the public made a commitment by passing a bond measure to ensure a steady flow of resources in order to fund that program. And by going out to the community and bringing them in and getting them involved, those resources were there. And the agent of change has to seek those out and make sure they're available for a successful change to occur.
Stephen, if I can just jump in at one more point, I think that one of the reasons that all of us are here is because we've been the beneficiary of some amazing change agents, which are members of the Full Circle Fund. And so I would like to ask if all the members of Full Circle Fund could please just stand and we could actually acknowledge and honor you. I know there's a few more out there. There we go. These are real change agents that are really making a difference in a lot of our communities. So for those of you who are contemplating joining, those of you who are contemplating getting invested in doing something other than writing a check, other than being supportive and being on boards, I think this is a great opportunity.
Great. Thanks a lot. So, second question, you have all partnered with the Full Circle Fund. So what is it like to partner with the Full Circle Fund? And what are our members doing to support change?
Awful.
Briefly. Let's go down the line, Salvador.
No, just kidding. Partnering with Full Circle is the closest that it gets for a nonprofit to being part of a venture capital situation. We have presented to the membership of a Full Circle, and they look for programs, for projects that are cutting edge, that are you have to be thinking out of the box, and you are have to be looking to solve a problem that other people have given up on. And getting the technical assistance, the investment, you really get support. It's not only the financial support, but you also get people who are there with you to partner to try to create change. For us, it has been a wonderful experience, and we look forward to continue the partnership with Full Circle.
We're relatively new in our partnership with Full Circle, and obviously, you know, we have some mutual interests. There are certainly some funding issues that we're trying to work through in order to help our project. But the one thing that we are very fortunate to have with Full Circle is that being a public institution, working with the public schools, we now have a public partner. We have public eyes working with us, looking at what we're doing, and helping us get this through. So I think our benefit is to be out there working with the group that has such an expansive role in the Bay Area and can help us to make sure that as we go down that path, we don't stumble too much.
And our experience with Full Circle Fund is really about exceeding expectations and really pushing on that envelope, whether it be access to technology that leads to pathways around increased education, increased information on working families, tax credits, a lot of other supports that really help families has been amazing. And so we look forward to a lengthy partnership with Full Circle Fund.
Great, thanks. So in closing, any final words of wisdom for audience out there?
I think that an invitation to every single person here tonight to find something that you really care about, something that you feel very passionate about, to get involved. I think that the words that from Dr. Larry Villian are extremely on target. We have the power, we have the possibility of creating a lot of change in our society. It's a matter of taking action. We can think about it, but if we don't take action, you will not become an agent of change. So I think that once again, we have an opportunity tonight to make a commitment. Whatever you feel passionate about, follow that dream, make a commitment to, you know, do something tonight. And together, I think that we can create incredible change, not only for our society here in San Francisco, but for the country and for the world. And I think that Full Circle is a great organization that can provide a vehicle to be part of that change that can be generated.
I know our organization is very pleased to be in the room with so many innovative people, and that your ideas and your commitment to make education better for all the students in the state, especially in the Bay Area where we're located, is really a sign to us that we have the right people, the right partners to go forward. We know that you know, the road's been bumpy at many times, but we know also that it's time for us to take some action. And we can't do it alone, nor can you do it alone. So I think the partnership has to take place for us both to be successful.
Very briefly, it feels like the stars are really aligned, and if there was ever really an opportunity to effect change, I think that change is really now, or that opportunity is really now. And so, you know, I could just simply say that folks just need to figure out how to stop talking about it and just do that.
Thank you for joining us for this Full Circle Fund panel discussion. For more information, please visit fullcirclefund.org. This podcast was produced by Mobilecast Media, provider of podcasting, video podcasting, and online media services. For more information, please visit mobilecastmedia.com.